136. Psalms 136. Psalms 136, beginning at the first verse. And I think the praise team for singing that song this morning, because it gave me an assurance that this is what God wanted for us today. Hallelujah. Psalms 136, the first verse. I'm going to read, and I want you, the congregation, to read the last clause of the verse, and it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." After I read, I want you to say, "For his mercy endureth forever." Okay? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him who alone doeth great wonders.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day,
for his mercy endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night,
for his mercy endures forever.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn,
for his mercy endures forever.
And brought out Israel from among them,
for his mercy endures forever.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm,
for his mercy endures forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it,
for his mercy endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea,
for his mercy endures forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness,
for his mercy endures forever.
To him which smote great kings,
for his mercy endures forever.
And slew famous kings,
for his mercy endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage,
for his mercy endures forever.
Even an heritage unto Israel his servant,
for his mercy endures forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate,
for his mercy endures forever.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies,
for his mercy endures forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh. Now let's read that last verse together. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. His mercy endureth forever. Israel didn't know anything about their God while they were in Egypt. But God had to prove himself to his people. God could have brought them out very easily the very first time he sent Moses to them. But Israel really didn't know God. They knew of him. They had heard of him from their forefathers who had talked about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't really know God. But God proved himself to his people there in Egypt with all the plagues that he brought on that land because of his people. He was doing something. He was letting them know that he was God, and there was no other God beside him. There were many gods in Egypt. They had a God for everything. I mean, they had a God for everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. The water was a god. The crocodiles was a god. And I mean, everything, they just made a God out of everything because they didn't know the real God. But God brought his people out of Egypt, and he proved himself to them that he is a God above all gods. There's no other God like our God. There may be many gods with small g, but only one God over all. And he proved himself. And that's why they were able to say this scripture. Israel, that was their hymn book. And just like we sang it this morning, they sang from the book of Psalms. But they were singing about their God. It was because they had gotten to know him. Many people today, they come to church, but they don't really know God. They haven't had an experience with him. They do not have a relationship with him. But you've got to know God for yourself. I don't care how much I talk about him or how much I tell you he's good and how I tell you, give you my testimony of what he's done for me. You need to know him for yourself. And you don't have to be here in this specific place to get to know him. You don't have to be on the altar for him to hear you when you call him. I wasn't at the altar when I was calling on him, laying on that floor in that apartment. But he heard my cry and came to see about me. Oh, I could have gotten up and gone to the church and fell down on the altar and all of that. But I wasn't in that condition at that time. Where I was, I needed to hear from him right then and there. I didn't have the time to get up and go find a church. I needed help then. So I was able to call on him where I was. And I began to call on him out of the depths of my soul. And when I started calling on him, I didn't do it verbally. I couldn't. I was so out of it, I couldn't lift my head up. But in my heart, in my inner man, I began to say, Lord, help me. It wasn't great swelling words either. It was just simply, Lord, help me. Help me. Sometimes we're in a situation where we can't say a whole lot of words. We can just simply say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And when that comes from the innermost being of yourself, God hears it. God knows when you're serious with him and when you're not. And I called on him out of the depths of my soul because I needed help. And I said, help, Lord. And I stayed there. I kept calling. He said, knock. If you knock, the door will be open. I knocked on that door until he opened it. So we got to get to know God for ourselves. You can't go to heaven on your mother's religion or your father's religion. Because it's not about religion. It's not about belonging to a church. It's about having a relationship with God. Knowing him for yourself. Get to know him for yourself. And when you do that, God will do something for you. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a personal relationship with God. Knowing Christ and what he has done for you. When you know Christ and what he has done for you, you'll know that you have a new life in Christ. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. And it says, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, many of you may not want to identify with that verse, but I can identify with it. I'm not ashamed to let people know where God brought me from. Because when he brought me out, he told me to tell what he had done for me. He said, I didn't save you. I didn't bring you out for you to sit here with your mouth closed. I want you to tell people what I've done for you. Because in telling others, it will increase their faith. And thank God, by telling my testimony, many have come to the Lord. I've had people come and tell me when I was running my first revival, they says, I'm going to bring my son. I'm going to bring my daughter. I'm going to bring my nephew. I'm going to bring my niece. I want them to hear what God did for you so that they will know that God will do the same thing for me. Many times God do things for you and you won't say a word. God wants you to tell what he has done for you. One scripture said, by your testimony, you overcome. Tell what he has done for you. You, he said, who were dead, he made alive. He made you alive. When you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, God made you alive through Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said here in the second verse, he said, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sways of the tendency of this present age. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so you probably, you know, don't see that in yours. Following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit, which still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. I thought I was doing my thing. Oh, yeah, I was doing my thing. And my word was, oh, I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't hurting nobody but myself. Oh, I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't hurting nobody but myself. You know, I drink my little rum and coke and smoke my little Salem cigarettes, you know. And I thought, oh, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. But one day God opened my eyes. And let me see that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he who destroys this temple, God will destroy it. You don't put in and everything in this body. It belongs to God. And if you destroy it, God will destroy you. Oh, I was doing my thing. Oh, you know, oh, I love the party. Y'all think I dance now? You should see me when I was young. I could go for an hour. They'd have to sit me down when the Lord saved me. I mean, I was on fire for the Lord. The Lord saved me with joy, and I still have it today. You know, my body just won't do it, but the Holy Ghost is still there. The Holy Ghost hasn't gotten old. He said, let the young and the old go forth together. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost doesn't age. But this body, sometimes I feel that in my spirit, I'm praising God, but my body is moving. Sometimes I have to talk to it, you know, but especially when I come to the house of God. Oh, but I was doing my thing, I thought. But I was under the power and the control of the devil. He had me thinking that I was doing my thing. I was doing what I wanted to do. All the time, he was whispering in my ear, telling me what to do. Oh, I thought, I'll never forget this one night. Thank God for my eyesight. I went out with some friends. We were out partying, and I just knew I was looking good. I had on this bad hat, and it was cocked down. And I mean, at that time, they had this shirt out. It was like the pirates wear, you know, with the big sleeves and start down here. Oh, I was cool. Oh. And we decided we'd go take some pictures. And we took pictures, you know, and everything. So, bless heavens, God, I woke up the next morning, and something told me, go get that picture that you took last night. I went and got that picture because in my mind, I still knew, ooh, I was clean. I was looking good. I looked at that picture. I almost cried. I didn't know I looked so pitiful. But the enemy had me feeling I was looking good. My little rum and coke had me thinking I was Mr. It that night. You know, I was clean. And I looked at that picture and I said, Lord, help me, please. I don't even think I ever have that picture. I think I cut it up because I didn't want nobody else to see it. It's the same way when people are drinking alcohol. They think nobody can't see it. They think they can't smell it. You know, when I was younger, the first time when I learned how to drink, because I didn't know how to drink when I started, they used to drink gin all the time because they felt that nobody can smell it. I said, oh, that's so pitiful. Anybody that don't drink and smell and smell smoke and smell alcohol, I don't care when you drink it, what you're doing. If they don't smoke, they smell smoke. If they don't drink, they smell alcohol. And we used to do it and get some chewing gum, get some mouth. Well, we had plenty of mouth, you know, mints and things, put in our mouth, you know, so when we're around people. Too late. It's in your hair. It's in your clothes. It's in your skin. But I was clean. I thought I was doing my thing. I wasn't doing my thing. The Bible said you were under. You were under. You were obedient and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. You're not doing your thing. You don't have a thing. There's only two spirits that control in the world, and that's God and the prince of the power of the air. Yes. Yes. You're under either one or the other control. Yes. And if God is not controlling, then you're under the control of the devil. Yes. God help us. Yes. Paul said, among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passion of our flesh. We were doing what our flesh told us to do. My flesh told me, if you're going to this party, you know, you don't want to be a wallflower. So what you do, you go to the store. I leave work. I go stop by the liquor store. And I get, I need a whole lot, just a half a pint of rum and a Coke. And while I'm getting ready to go to the party, that's what I would drink. You know, so that loosened me up, you know. So I wouldn't be a wallflower when I got to the party, you know. So when I got there, I was ready. When I hit the door, I was ready to dance. And they knew I was a dancer, so as soon as I hit the door, they said, come on, Robert. Oh, and I'd be, sometime I'd leave, I'd be soaking wet. Soaking wet. Partying, having a good time, I thought. Under the control of the devil. Destroying my own body. God help us. Our behavior governed by our corrupt and senseless nature. Verse 3, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark images. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation. And oh, God help us, we didn't know what we were doing. Like the rest of mankind, we didn't know what we were doing. We thought we did. We thought we knew what we were doing. Like I said, I thought, I ain't hurting nobody. I'm just hurting myself, you know. I wasn't robbing nobody. I wasn't killing nobody, you know. So I was just enjoying myself. So I thought, oh, no. No, 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 no. But God. But God. Thank God for Jesus. But God, who is so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love which he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved us that he did something for us. While I was yet in my sins, Christ died for me. I was his enemy. I was against Christ. And yet he died for me, gave his life. He took the beating that I should have had. He hung on the cross where I should have been. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hadn't even come on the scene yet, and yet he did it for me. When we read this Bible, we've got to realize that what happened, happened for me, happened for you. Christ had committed no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. He hung on the cross for you and for me, for our sins, not for his. That we might have a right, that we might be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such love. Such love. Such wondrous love. That God should love a sinner such as I. Oh, how wonderful is love like that. Hallelujah. Even though you may be in your sins and doing what you think you want to do, doing your thing, God still loves you. How do I know he loves me? Because I'm still walking around. Many of the things that is going on in the world today, I look at the parade that they're having over in San Francisco today. If those people only knew what the penalty for what they're doing today, back then, they'd run. Because the Bible said anybody that did what they would do should have been stoned. That was God's law. But thank God for grace. Amen. We're living under grace. Amen. And because people aren't immediately, God doesn't immediately destroy people for their sins. They think God has forgotten them, but God hasn't forgot. He's still the same God today. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad for the blood. The blood of Jesus that washes away my sin. Christ died for me. Hallelujah. When I was his enemy, he still died for me. Such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. Oh, how wonderful is love like this. That's why I get happy when I think about it. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. God knew me in my mother's womb. She could have aborted. She could have done anything, got rid of me. But God knew. He saw me here today. He saw me here today. He saw you here today. And you're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. But you're here because God loves you. Hallelujah. And he wants you to hear the message of his love. Yes. God cares about you. Yes. He wants you to have the best. He wants you to go. You know why Satan tried to keep you from going where he was? Because he knew how heaven was. That's where he came from. He was an angel in heaven. So he knew how beautiful it was. He knew all about it. So he tried to keep you from going there. He don't want you to go to heaven. Because he's been banded from it. But God has made a way that you can go. You can know him for yourself today. You can know him for yourself today. You can know him as your Savior. You can know him as your all in all. But without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. Yes, all he has to do is to hold his breath. It's his. All he has to do is hold it, and you'll be gone. I was angry with the Lord one time. I was so angry because God wasn't doing things the way I wanted him to do it. Oh, yeah, I was upset with him. I wouldn't admit it at the time because my older people had taught me a fear of God. So I know you didn't play with God. But I was so angry with God because I had made plans. As a child, I grew up in all kind of abuse. I wouldn't even go through all of that. But I had made plans. I was going to do this when I got grown. I was going to do that when I got grown. And I was going to do this and this and this. Oh, I had them plans all planned out what I was going to do. And we plan our stuff like that and we take it to God. And because God doesn't stamp his approval on it, we get angry. We take our anger out on other people. But it's your anger. You're really angry with God because God isn't doing what you wanted him to do. And I got in a situation where I was telling him how angry I was too. And he spoke to me. He said, do you know that I could erase you off the face of the earth and your very mother would forget that you were ever born, that she ever had you? And he carried me to that scripture, said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's why when we come to the house of God and we're standing in the mercy of God, we ought to be glad. Because it's because of the mercy of God that you're sitting here today. Not because of what you've done, but because of the mercies of God. I say, forgive me, Lord. But in that, during that time, I was able to tell God, I just emptied myself of everything that was inside of me that was hurting. I told him everything. I confessed everything. I talked to him and he talked with me because I thought sure if I told him how I felt that he was going to kill me, but he didn't kill me because he's a merciful God. He's a loving Father. Yeah. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come to him and talk to him. Yeah. And I was able to empty myself of all that junk. And now I thank him. I don't allow myself to let all of that envy and strife and stuff get inside of my spirit. God loves you. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses. He made us alive together in fellowship and in same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. It is of the mercies of God, people, that we are here, sitting here today. Hallelujah. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is going about, the Bible said, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. If it was up to him, would nobody be in here? He'd have killed every one of you long ago. As long as you live and there's breath in your life, you have a chance to be saved. You have a chance to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But if you're dead, you can't. The Bible said the dead knows nothing. I don't care what all these mediums and other people say. God says, the word of God said, the dead knows nothing. Every day you live, you ought to be able to thank God that you're alive. Don't waste time. Time is winding up real fast. Look around you, listen to the news, look at the paper, and you'll see the word of God is being fulfilled every day. He said before the end of time come, there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. Is that happening now?
Yes.
I never heard of a tsunami before in my whole life. I didn't know what they were talking about when I heard the word. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. Tsunami. Never heard it. Some of the places where there are wars is going on right now, I never heard of them. Until the war started. God is good to us. And yet we in America are safe. God has kept us. We had a 9/11. It woke a lot of people up. They were running to churches, but they soon forgot. They soon forgot that we're vulnerable just like everybody else is. They soon forgot that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. God has given us a chance and he's given us another chance. Don't wait too long. Because we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were slain. We were dead. Dead. But made alive by the Spirit of God. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly places, in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Thank God for Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank God for living under grace. We are under grace and truth. I thank God for it. Hallelujah. If it had not been for grace, I'd have been gone long ago. Because I tried with all that I knew to get rid of myself. Oh, yeah, I tried. You looking at me standing here today, you would not know that I had overdosed about 6 or 7 times. Oh, yeah, I was determined to get rid of myself. I was not going to do what he wanted me to do. I was determined. But he let me know that he's God, not me. He said, you can be dead and I can bring you back to life.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. Jonah thought he was running. Oh, he ran away. He was determined. He wasn't going to do what God said. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go around. Them people are my enemy. I don't like them people. I don't like them. I am not going to preach the gospel to them, because if I preach the gospel to them, they might get saved. And I don't want them to get saved. I want you to destroy them. I hate them. They're my enemies. But God said, oh, yeah, you're going to do what I want you to do. Jonah said, oh, no, I'm not. God said, oh, yes, you are. Jonah said, oh, no, I'm going down here to Tarshish. I'm going to get on this ship, and I'm going down. And just notice, he went down, down, down. He went down to the city. He went down to the ship. He went down when he got in the ship. He went down to the bottom of the ship. And when they threw him overboard, he went down, and went down in the belly of the whale. But I don't care how far down you go, the hand of God can reach you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he went down, 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 down. But David said, I can make my bed in hell. But when I get there, he's already there. I can take wings in the morning and fly to the end of the pots. When I get there, God is already there. You can't run from God. Oh, I know, I was gone. But God said, no, I'm in charge here. God is in charge, not you. And God can allow things. He can let things happen so that when you come to your senses, you realize that he is God and that he is in control. He's going to have the last say. Hallelujah. Jonah thought he was gone. But when he got down there, he wasn't dead either. Isn't that something to be in the belly of a fish? I mean, down there with all whatever it is that's in the belly of the fish. And he tried to describe it. He was in the belly of hell and all these seaweeds and things were wrapped around his head. And he was still alive. Can you imagine being in that kind of a... No light. Have you ever been in a place that was so dark you couldn't even see your hand before your face? I didn't live like that when we was driving across country, going across the Mojave Desert. I said, Dee, have you ever been in a place where you couldn't see your hand before your face? Have you? She said, no. So what I did was cut the light. When you get to a place where there's no light, you can see the starry heaven. But I mean, we couldn't see our hand before our face. Imagine Jonah in the belly of a whale, in all that water, all he could hear was water sloshing all around, and he was still alive. He probably thought he would be dead. He would have drowned it. But God can keep you alive in any situation. I tell you one thing. When he said yes to the Lord, started calling on the Lord, and the Lord brought it, spoke to that fish and then spew him out on the shore. When Jonah got himself together, he made that journey in less than the time that he was supposed to make it. I mean, he was moving. He was moving. And yet he got to the city, and after telling the story, and then he went up on the mountain on the side of the hill then waiting. Because he said, see, I know you, God. I know you. If them people call on you, you're going to save them. But I'm going to sit here and wait to see if they're going to be destroyed because they ain't going to repent. But they did. The people repented. And God saved them just like Jonah thought. And then he was mad with God again. See that? See, I told you you was going to save them. That's why I didn't want to come here. And then he got mad. The sun was too hot. You know, when you get angry, everything, you get upset with everything. The wind ain't blowing. The sun is shining too hot. You know, and people getting on my nerves. I don't want to be bothered. Oh, it's too hot here. So God let something grow to shade him from the sun. Then God sent a little worm, and it ate the tree. It fell down. Then Jonah got mad about that. Jonah was really mad with God. That's who he was mad with. And God talked to him and said, well, do you really need to be mad about that? Yeah, I need to be. Because, see, I told you, if I came here, those people was going to repent, and you were going to save them. Yes, he will. If you today repent of your sins, God will save you from your miserable life of sin. You're not happy. You know you're not. If you're not saved today, you're not happy. I wasn't happy. That's the reason why I had to drink my rum and coke before I went to a party. I wasn't happy. I didn't really want to go. But I wanted to be loved. I was seeking love and didn't know really where to find it. And it was all around me all the time. God was right there saying, I love you. All you got to do is come back to me. Come back to me. And repentance is simply turning around from the way you're going. You're going, you've got your back to God, and you're going from him. You think you're running from him. And he's just simply saying, turn around and come back to me. Amen. Just come on back. Come on back. Amen. I love you. I'm your father. I love you. Come on back. Come on back. And that's all you have to do. if you do even like the prodigal son did. The prodigal son came to himself. That's what we got to do. We've got to come to ourselves. Think about where you are today. If you're already saved, then you need to praise God. You need to thank God. I mean, you ought to be dancing like David. You know how David danced when he brought that ark back to the city? David danced all out of his clothes. Oh, I mean, you know, David was putting down some dancing. I mean, I thought I used to dance, but David was dancing. I mean, we used to have a sister back home and say she'd look at people praising God in the church and say, oh my God, they out dance a stripe at eight. And I don't know, what is a stripe at eight? But anyway, they were dancing to her. They were dancing. David was dancing. I mean, he twirled and he praised God. That's what we ought to do every time we come to the house of God. When we think about where we were, where we were on our way to, and what God saved us from, if we really think about it, oh, the praise team wouldn't have to ask you to sing and to praise God. When you come through the door, you'd come through praising Him. When you wake up in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, I thank you. First thing I thank Him for is my eyesight that I can see. I don't know. I can't imagine what it would be like if I did not have my eyesight. Oh, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for the sunshine, for being able to see the sky, the beautiful sky. I thank you for being able to use my hands. I thank you for being able to take care of myself, to put on my clothes. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're so good to me. I don't know how blessed we are. I worked in the hospital for years. I took care of a gentleman in Virginia that worked for a meat company. And he was cleaning the machine and got his hands caught in that machine. And they cut off both his hands, just like, just both his hands, just chopped them right off. They brought him to the emergency room with his hands in a plastic bag. They sewed him back on, but the body rejected him. His own body rejected his own hands. And that he was without hands. And I'd have to go in there every day and give him a bath and feed him. And he was so grateful. Oh, he was the nicest man. But he had no hands. And I had to bathe him and feed him. And every time I'd finish, I'd on my way out, he said, Robert, look under my pillow. And I knew what he was doing. I said, you don't have to. He said, just take it. He was so grateful for everything that I did for him. But I thought about it. I said, oh God, how would I be if I had no hands and I couldn't take care of myself? I had to depend on everybody to do everything for me. The same way when you're blind, when you're crippled. We had young men who was on circular beds. They had broken their neck. They weren't dead. And most people think when you break your neck, you die. You don't have to die. They were very much alive, but they couldn't do anything for themselves. We had to do everything for them. God is good to you. I said, God is good to you. I said, God is good to you. You're blessed. You are blessed. Let us stand on our feet. You are blessed. It's not those lines in that highway that keep cars in their place. God has protected you so many times from accidents that you didn't even see, you wasn't even aware of. God has kept you from so many things in your life that you're not aware of. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank on the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me. My soul cry out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. Hallelujah. Oh,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, as we stand here before you today,
thank you.
Thinking of all of your goodness and all that you brought us through, we want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, God, there's been so many times when we've gone on our way not thinking about what you've done, but today we want to take the time just to say thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We're grateful in our hearts for all that you've done for us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take care of us, Lord, as we depart from this place. Look on our pastor and his family. Take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen.